the notion of tefillah, and I'm not talking in terms of a philosophical understanding of tefillah, which is a subject in its own right, but from the philosophical standpoint of the existence of the notion of tefillah, however it happens to work, let's leave that to the side. But it's a fantastic notion. It's mind-boggling. In this world, we cannot have such an experience. And I'm not talking with the Rabbeinu Shlomo. I'm talking even in the human realm. In what realm is it conceivable, whatever realm a person finds himself, that he has access whenever he wants to the most significant person in his organization, whenever he wants, without limitation, whatever the organization is. The person that ultimately wields authority, inevitably, in the mix of his responsibilities, access is limited. Otherwise, he can't function. So how many times a year, or in your career, do you speak to the CEO? And the truth is, the way, in the corporate structure, if you try to speak to the CEO, you'll probably get yourself fired, because you're exceeding your line of authority. There are many layers of management in between you and the CEO, and you're supposed to go through them to bring something to the CEO. You're not supposed to access them yourself. And here, the Rabbeinu Shel Olam allows us, the Rabbeinu Shel Olam himself. And at least with the boss of a dumb, there's nothing that states that the person that's in charge is any greater than I am. The opposite may just as well be true. But by the way society developed and whatever, he wound up in charge and I wound up, I'm number 3, I'm number 10, I'm number 20. Doesn't relate to the qualities necessarily of the person. Here, we cannot even begin to be in the same realm. We go up on top of the Empire State Building, and we look down, and we can see little spots of light, you know, flying around, the headlights of the cars. And the people look about as big as ants. What are we before the Rabbeinu Shel Olam? Less than the ants in the backyard, in comparison. I mean, if the ants wanted to come every morning and speak with us at the breakfast table, would we be so disposed? And the Rabbeinu Shel Olam allows us access on a regular basis. It's philosophically, it's a phenomenal notion. And not only at fixed times, we have fixed views. 3 trailers, 4 trailers, 5 trailers, Yom Kippur. But it's not only that. Rabbi Yochanan says in the Masechet Shabbos in Brachos that halavai she's palo elef pamim biyom. Halavai a person would be disposed to daven 1,000 times a day. Our access to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam is unlimited. And how do we address the Rabbeinu Shel Olam? Say, Baruch Ato Hashem. Person to person. In the second person, right? Ato, you. You address the Rabbeinu Shel Olam with familiarity. You, at all. So not only do we have unlimited access to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, but the way in which we address the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, so directly, so intimately. And it's that dynamic of what tefillah is that creates a whole body of halacha. what do I, as mortal man, have to do to have the audacity to stand before the Ribbono Shel Olam? So from here we have an entire body of halacha of how a person has to prepare himself. We need hachana l'tefillah. Hachana is at many different dimensions. Physical dimensions. Psychological, emotional dimensions. Intellectual preparations. Many different levels. Let us ask ourselves before we consider what the halacha asks of us for tefillah. Suppose I had a meeting with the CEO. And what's on the table is my career. It's not a question of the job that I have. I want to have a much more senior job in the organization. And this is it. I have 1 hour to make my case. July 5th at 2 p.m., right after the lunch break, I'm going to sit down and make my pitch. If it goes well, I'm going to have a very senior position. My salary will be 3 times what it is. So I'll have tremendous power, tremendous staff. If it doesn't go, I'll stay where I am. Well, I do like to play tennis on Mondays at lunchtime. Tuesdays. Today's July 5th. So maybe I'll go to the gym and I'll spend the hour before the meeting playing tennis and I'll come racing in with sweat pouring off me, barely tucking myself in, and I'll sit down with the CEO to make the most important presentation of my entire career. None of us would do such a thing. I'd say it makes no difference what I do normally on Monday at 1 o'clock, but this Monday at 1 o'clock, I'm going to sit calmly someplace and quietly and prepare myself mentally for this great, important meeting that's going to take place. Why? Because my entire career could change if it goes well. So we're not just going to run in off the cuff. Come and well thought out, focused, primed for the encounter. Radul Choshev described the era in this country, the first 15, 20, 25 years after the Holocaust. He himself was a survivor. Since people were so overwhelmed with the pressures of life, of establishing themselves, that they raced into Davin, fixed up a mincha and ran out again. Where the tranquility to be focused. And that's really the essence of what we have to do. We have to prepare for the encounter with the Ribbono Shel Olam. In the morning, Chazal made it easier for us. They gave us Pesukei de Zimra, so we have some time to warm up, to get in the right frame of mind. Mincha is a command performance. Marav's in between. So the halacha obligates us to prepare for tefillah. That we should end the tefillah in the mindset that's necessary. Chazal tell us in Masechet Brachos, Chasidim Arishonim prepared for an hour before tefillah. They must palo for an hour. And then they took an hour after tefillah. They needed another hour. The hour after tefillah is an enigma. They finished davening, so what's the hour after tefillah? But the experience of tefillah is such that they can't just jump down to this world again. There's somewhere else. You sort of have to slowly come back to earth, or in a different realm. So the experience of tefillah propelled them out of this world, as the Torah places it, to a level that's close to Maila Sanavu. So, there's no quick re-entry into this world. But if that's where we're headed, up, then we have to prepare. And it's interesting, the preparations parallel the preparations which were necessary for a kohen when he went to do the avodah. What's the first thing that the kohen has to do? He comes to the mikdash. It's the first achonah l'tefillah. We should be mekadosh ourselves. Come, we wash our hands. Allah was mechalek, they didn't make it as chomer as it was in the mikdash with all the conditions. But we wash our hands. Why? Very interesting. We'll see in a moment. The halacha states that there are three possible states that a person could be in terms of the kedusha of his yadayim, of his hands. A person could have dealt with things which he knows are inappropriate to make a bracha after handling. A person could be in doubt. He really doesn't know if he did anything he's not supposed to. And a person could know that it's yadayim amuchan l'tefillah. Now, even if it's yadayim amuchan l'tefillah, it's interesting, the Magen Avraham paskens, a person that washed for a meal, and then in the middle of the meal decided to daven mincha, the Magen Avraham paskens, he has to wash his hands again. There's a kedusha for tefillah. That's mechayev the halacha of hichud. Prepare for tefillah. The person who's eating his lunch is going to go into the Beis HaMikdash, washes his hands. So that's the first preparation that we have to make. And that is tefillah. Because we're oymed bifnei hamelech, then it's not enough to be in a state that I don't know if I'm tummy. That's enough. I can make brachas. I may even be able to recite kriyashma in that state. That's a question. But brachas I certainly can recite. But shmona esrei? Shmona esrei, I have to know that I'm in a state of tara. Otherwise, I have no right to come before the Rabbeinu Shalom. We'll put it in physical terms. Before I go to my big meeting, I'm going to make sure that I don't have a stain on my suit, right in front of my suit. I'm not going to assume that, no probability. I'm a meticulous person. I don't have stains. But I'm going to make sure that I don't. When we come before the Rabbeinu Shalom, we have to know that we're in a state of Tara. It's mechayev a different dimension of Hachana, to wash our hands. Minastam doesn't help. Seder Shulchan Aruch tells us at the end of Siman Dalad, le'tiknu netilas yadayim alu l'kriyashmo l'tefillah. The washing of the hands is necessary for Kriya Shema, Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim, Avo Brochas de Shachris, the Brichas HaShachar that I make in the morning, Yochel Avorach Kaidim Netila. Those I don't have to need the special Hachona that I make for davening. As long as, a person washed already Netila Sedayim sometime earlier in the morning, and even he's up for many hours, and he's really not 100% sure if his hands were, he was careful with his hands or not, he can make all the brochas. I don't believe it applies to that. We don't say Kriya Shema Lamita typically for Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim. If a person maybe is being yaitzik Kriya Shema with that, Yitochan, he should do that too. There's some question with that. The Prima Gadlam, I believe, holds for Kriya Shema, you also have to. So this is how, now in this regard, the Mogen Machtes HaShekel makes an inference in Siman Dalet from the Mogen Avrom that Lichat Chilo one should wash with a kais for tefillah.
And three times? Or
no, you don't need to be there. One time, but one should wash with a kais, even the chatchila.
And 4 ounces again, question of...
Yeah, that's, I don't know if that the shear is ma'akif. I don't believe the shear is ma'akif. I don't think there's a shear for it. He writes earlier. Ein tzorech revias l'netiyah l'as yadayim l'tfilah. This is Siman Dalet Sivvav. Doesn't need a revias. Motzalom di ever ein ma'akev ha'brocha mavorach l'netiyah l'as yadayim. Avalichat chila atayim la'hakbit sh'yelo gam kein revias. It's preferable to have a revias. Kavo shakosa besuk sh'achazen. The koyal gam sh'yelo revias and kavo shakosu achreinah.
But this will be only one time, yeah.
You don't need it. It means one revias for both hands. Yeah. Toiv lahakbin min nechilas adayim shachrus v'chol adorim ha'ma'akfim min nechilas adayim l'sidr. It's preferable to do all the things that you do for a sidr. You ain't a ma'akiv lo kli. You don't necessarily have to have a kli, but like koyaf gavra, and it doesn't have to be poured by human hands. V'shor adorim ha'poislim min nechilas asidr. So he writes, "Ein tzorich, ein amak rotzalom di ever l'nir abrochov yuchel levorach al netilas sedayim. Afilu lechad chilecha di efshah ben yanacha, aval lechad the efshah tov lehakbid. It's preferable to be makbid. So tov lehakbid on all the things. Aval ein amakiv loykli, but lechad chilecha one should have it.
So washing just
rotzalom di vahani avla avruach rov lechinam ein lo kli shalim mutali dom kli nokov." Or from a pump, after Bisha and Koyach Gabra, even though a situation where it's not, which is not considered Koyach Gabra, because of all the common rules of Dilas Adayim. Okay. So, there's an Indian that we should wash from a Kais. Kais is a special institution. It's like, it's a mini mikvah, in effect. A mini mikvah. So this is the Aleph in preparing for Tefillah. Now the Shulchan Aruch discusses it a little bit more at length in Siman Tzadik Beis. In Siman Tzadik Beis he writes the following. Sorach lirchoitz yodo b'mayim, sif gimel, im yeshlo. If he has water, he has to wash his hands. Now, how far this goes, we'll see in a moment. First of all, we have to know, this is not only for Shachris, this is for Mincha and Marav as well. Except that if one washes for Mincha and intends shortly thereafter to daven Marav, and he wants to wash therefore once for both times, that suffices. Now, Vidasa Rambam, the Rambam writes the following. Let us realize how that we should not take this halacha casually. The Rambam writes, if a person had to wash his hands for davening, and he failed to wash his hands, and at least didn't wipe them clean with something that would cleanse his hands. Afilu b'di ever ain't tfiloso tfilo. Even b'di ever is not yetzer aram lamos. Tzorach ian ledino, that's the prima godna. B'ayim b'bir aloha shabi anu den chayzer umuspalo. That b'di ever, the Chofetz Chaim paskins, that one should not have to daven again. But there's even a tzad in the Rambam that when he has a whole lengthy bir aloha about this, that here the Rambam is talking in a situation not where he knows that his hands have touched something that they shouldn't, just doesn't know for sure that they're torn. And even near the Rambam, the Mashmos and the Rambam, at least some suggest, is that it's ma'akib b'di evad. So that's how significant the washing of the hands is, that are called the shida, at least according to one view in the Rambam, one has to read
daven. And what about, he mentioned wiping the hands against something,
would
that be against the wall?
Anything that's would cleanse your hands. Usually harder things, but it's something that would cleanse the hands.
So would rub it clean. Have water, then one should...
Whatever, a hard surface. But
your hands are not physically dirty.
Maybe you touch something that's dirty that we don't know about. What do you wash your hands before you eat food? You don't see it.
It's not sufficient to look at your hands.
No, it's not necessarily sufficient. Maybe you touch something and you don't realize what you touched. You know, there's a lot of things that we know we don't see. Maybe we're better off that we don't see them.
If a person is going to be late for tefillah, if he washes his hands.
It's a big problem.
So
maybe the hands of Baruch wouldn't run out and wash after Baruch. But the Achana L'Tvila is a very chomer dika thing. The Shulchan Aruch continues.
Is it a cleanliness issue or is it more a ritualistic?
It's both. It's both. I mentioned earlier, it's both. Number one, it's cleanliness. How do we know that we necessarily didn't touch something we're not supposed to for davening?
Besides that,
the Magen Avraham paskens in Hilchos Mincha that if I washed for a suda, I'm in the middle of eating, and then I suddenly decide to run out the daven mincha, I have to wash again. So that's clearly because of the halach of hicha, and that there should be a hachana l'tefila.
So you went to the bathroom and you washed, and now you should wash again.
Well, if you wash it, you can have in mind for tefillah at the same time. Okay. That's enough. Now, the Shulchan Aruch says, "V'im ein loy." Suppose a person doesn't have water; it's tzoruch lachzor achareyim at parsa. Person has to travel basically 3 miles to find water. Hanamile, because you holich b'derech, why am naim nimsom lefonov? He's not going out of his way. He's heading in this direction, and somewhere up in this direction, within 3 miles, he could find water. He's supposed to wait. If he has to go out of his way, he doesn't go out of his way more than a mil, which is 2,000 avos, about 8/10 of a mile. But this is how chomer the halacha is. And if he's concerned that he'll miss man tefila waiting for water, then the halacha is yinak yoda b'tzroer, like the offer, or with earth, or b'chomi de menaki, anything that would certainly cleanse his hands, and this is assuming that he might miss this month field.
The Yamenu, this Purell count? Purell.
I still think you need water, besides Purell. I would think so, yes, yeah. The Yimei Shom Momoko. What happens if a misdemeanor while he's looking for water? So the Bach paskins that he could just cleanse his hands however he cleanses his hands. He's not mechuyev to mistvila b'tzibur for that reason. So this is some notion of the significance of what we have to do to prepare. The Rosh Hashanah, so a state of Tahara, Tahara Sayadayim, is appropriate with Tefillah. Omed with Tefillah, And he realized he touched, he scratched one of the covered portions of his body. It's enough that he wipe his hands off on earth or stones or rub them on something like on the wall. Because he's already in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. What's he supposed to do? Let's say then he realized that it's tzorach leilech v'lito yodah, which mechuyev to go out and wash his hands. That one's not allowed to touch these places during Shemoneh Esrei. So therefore he says, he remembered that he did it before Shemoneh Esrei. Suppose the person was in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei and he touched a part of his body he's not supposed to. That is Tzadik Beis above. Mokum etunov, what do we mean by a mokum etunov? And a mokum etunov, a chusim ba'odom, the covered parts of the body. Because they get sweaty. If a person scratches the scalp, a person should not touch this part of his body when he's davening, or when he's learning Torah. There are more paskins that the mucus in the nose, or the wax in the ears, is also included in what a person is not allowed to touch the chetchila and is one of the tefila. And that point, this last point, is a machloikus that the Groh disagreed with them and the Yavids disagreed. Put our kalponim. So we'll see again the difference with tefila. A person's oisik with tefila, over the Yavid, I bidi koyim ba'alma l'toro l'brochus alfa bishay yesh lomay. So this is a psak of the Groh. This psak. The Prilogodim, I believe, and the Groh both come to this psak. And that is that if a person is in the middle of learning and he realizes he scratched his head, so he's not mechuyev to get up, and he's not mechuyev to get up and to wash his hands, he just has to wipe his hands clean. But with the yevid die, with the koyim ba'amu, the Torah broch us off of Yishiyesh lomayim. Va'ayin la'el sof simen dalad mevishter bruch. If he touched earth or mud, maybe you don't have to wash altogether. If one has mud on one's hands, it's preferable to remove it before one goes to learn. Preferable. But this is all for Torah. But for Tefillah, if one is obligated to go, if one has water available, one's obligated to go to seek to prayer to prepare. Now, this is one form of preparation. Now, Simon Sade Gimel talks about the intellectual and emotional preparation for tefillah. We have a very, in my perception, a very difficult task. Chazal tell us that the Pasuk Hashem Sfosei Siftach Yagit Ilosecho, the Tefillah Richto, it's considered part of Shemoneh Esrei. So, certainly, while in that line, we have to go from the Kriya Shema mode to the Tefillah mode. In the course of that one line, we have to shift gears. So, the time that we start Baruch, we're in a different gear. So we found, the Shacharach tells us, a very amazing thing. Yishe sho'achas, the Gemara says in Brachos, koidim sheyokom lispala. Kidei sheyichaven libo lamoko. That we should be focused on the Rebbeinu Shalom. I need, first of all, to remove all the things that distract me. There could be important distractions. I'm in the middle of important business decisions. They weigh heavily upon me. So I have to extricate myself from that to prepare for tefillah. It looks as if I'm trying to run away. If I reach such an exalted state, I should not be anxious to leave. Now, the Talmid Rabbeinu Yonah writes something very fascinating. Go chicho, mi gemara, we'll tell you why in a moment. The Avagav de Vechamokar Rabinu and Shah. The word Shah, which literally means an hour, is commonly used in Chazal. Perish Shomuet. This means a small amount of time. Hocha Perish Shah Achas Miyudbei Shos Biyo. It means a full 60-minute hour. And it could even be Perish Shah Achas Miyudbei Shos Biyo, but the Shos Mani is hour too. But an hour. This is for very pious people. Some preparation. At least enough to walk an amma. It's a second, just but a stop, just to get ourselves slightly together. So here, why? Because the Gemara asked, Chassidim or Rishonim, when did they learn? They took an hour to daven, and 2 hours an hour for preparation, an hour after Shmona Esrei. So they used up 9 hours in a day. It's Parosa, Imosa, Nasis. The Gemara asked the question. So the Gemara said they had a special siyata d'shmaya in learning. Which means they didn't lose by it. Which means they had learned a tremendous amount in their life before they got to this state. And now they were able, in a few hours a day, the Rebbe Shem gave them special brocha, apparently in the schus of the tefillah, that they didn't lose out. They accomplished in the few hours that they had left what others took twice as long to accomplish in a day. So a person has to prepare for tefillah. So this, first of all, is to give us the time to decompress from the world around us and to tune in to the Rebbeinu Shlomo. That's number one. That's a psychological aspect. It's the emotional preparation too. I have to be in a state of Eimo V'achno. I stand in awe of the Rebbeinu Shlomo and humility. Right. The ultimate stance of tefillah is humility. Right. It's ke'evet lifnei ha-melech. It's humility. It's, according to Chovas HaLevavos, is really the essence of tefillah, is the realization of our dependence on the Rebbeinu Shel'olam. I've mentioned that other times. The Gro writes in Mishlei that in terms of all material things that we request of the Rebbeinu Shel'olam, we have absolutely no guarantee that it'll give us what we ask for. When it comes to ruchnius, carte blanche. Whatever we want, if we truly want it, the Rebbeinu Shlomo will grant us the opportunity. What's the reason for that? In ruchnius, we could say that the more I have, the better off I am. I know it's absolutely good for me. And therefore, the Gemara says in Brochus, Harchef Pichov Amaleya, we say each day at the end of Hodu, open our mouth wide, and the Rebbeinu Shlomo, open your mouth wide, and what? Vamaleo, I'll fill it up. Like a little mother, she tells a little yingala, open wide. And she stuffs it up with a spoon of food. So the Rebbeinu Shlomo says the same thing, but he's not talking about oatmeal. There's a huba divrei Torah ksiv. You want divrei Torah? If you really want it, I'll give it to you. But in Gashmias, how do we know it's good for me? You know, I always say my grandfather made one mistake. And I suffer from it until today. He forgot to leave me 5 office buildings in Manhattan. In the Yerusha. But what's the pshat? The pshat is the Rebbeinu Shlomo decided I'm better off without 5. I'm better off. So be somebody else, it's good for him. For me, I'm better off without owning 5 office buildings in Manhattan. So that's why, and we have a tefillah for Shchodesh, which was the tefillah of Rav. That's why some people say B'schus tefillah Rav, because it actually was the tefillah of Rav. We use a L'kaina Tzer at the end of Shmona Esrei, but there are 2-3 blots in Masechta Brochus concerning the tefillahs that the varied Amoraim enunciated at the end of their personal tefillah. These were their personal aspects of relating to the Rebbeinu Shlomo, the most intimate aspects of their Avodah. And it was a very personal tefillah. And we use some of them. We have, on Yom Kippur, we have one of them. It's also one of the tefillahs mentioned. We have varied pieces of this tefillah. Lakayat Tzor is one of them. The Brichas Vashchaydish is another of them. That was the tefillah of Rav. What does it say in the end? Yimali Hashem kol mishaldas libein on the Torah. We think a lot of things are good for us. But yes, the Rabbeinu Shalom for them. But what does the world say? The world has an expression. Be careful with what you wish for. You might get it. We don't know what's good for us. We think we do. But we ask a compassionate Rabbeinu Shalom to keep us away from the things that are not good for us. I can be mispalel for anything I want in the world of Gashmias. But who says it's good for me? Maybe it's detrimental. So I have no guarantee the gross says the Rabbeinu Shalom is going to give it to me. So the question remains, then what's the tefillah? Then what's the purpose of the tefillah? I can be mispalel. The Rabbeinu Shalom won't give it to me because it's not good for me. And in the contrary, I don't want the Rabbeinu Shalom to give it to me under those. So what am I being mispalel for? Tefillah is to emphasize our dependence on the Rabbeinu Shalom. My realization that I'm dependent on the Rabbeinu Shalom. That's the essence of tefillah. So that's why the Shulchan Aruch says, Lo yamal dispalel ba'eima v'hachno. I stand in awe of the Rabbeinu Shalom and I'm humbled. That's the emotional attitude that I have to have to enter tefillah. Lo mitoch schok v'kalas roish dvorim b'teilem. It's not casual. That doesn't speak to my relationship with the Rabbeinu Shalom. And then the other below me talk kas, not a person that's upset, which means that a person can't really focus on anything. Let me talk simcha, out of a joy. If you go and divrate from chumen shel Torah, the consolation that a person has in certain parts of the Torah, samach gulas mitzrayim, when he contemplates the Yeshua Hashem from Yitzias Mitzrayim, or samach letila ledavid, or after Ashrei at Mincha. What do we stay there? Shekosubai Ritzon Yireyav Yasa Shemra Hashem Eskola Yavov. So that's an upbeat mood to end the tefillah. Some states that what is Smichas Gula the tefillah, which we have in Shachmas and Arvas, there are a number of different views. One of the views is that the Rabbeinu Shalom is worthy to daven to. Why? When I was in Mitzrayim, I was in a pretty big bind. And who saved me from Mitzrayim? The Rabbeinu Shalom. And if he's that good, then I should be mispalel to him too. I mean, he could do me some other good things too. So the Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Smichas Gula Letvila, is the mindset of the Simcha, the joy of the association with the Rabbeinu Shalom. I have access to whom? To the Kol Yochel. No. The president can promise me whatever he wants. First of all, who says he's telling me the truth? Number one. Number two, in case he is telling me the truth, who says his colleagues will go along with him? He may want it, and they'll tell him where he can get off. So what's it going to help me? Right. But I come before the Rabbeinu Shalom. The Rabbeinu Shalom is the Kol Yochel. The Rabbeinu Shalom is the Kol Yochel. The Rabbeinu Shalom is absolute integrity. So if he tells me he's going to do it, I can rest assured. No power in the world can stand in his way. And I saw it Mitzrayim. So he's worthy for me to be mispalel to. So the realization that how small I am before the Rabbeinu Shalom, my dependency upon him, and of the absolute power of the Rabbeinu Shalom to grant me that which I wish. And it's irrespective if I achieve that wish or not. But tefillah is the connection that we have with the Rabbeinu Shalom. And in that connection we have to feel very small. So this is the emotional. This is the emotional preparation for tefillah. And intellectually, How do we prepare for tefillah? What state of mind? In oimnim les palomitoch din, not from a court case or from a din Torah. I'll come out of a rough din Torah. It's a lot on the line. It's, you know, a tough day in court, and I want to run to daven mincha. Daven mincha. It'll take me 6 hours to unwind from that which took place. So lo mitoch din, lo mitoch halacha, and not from undefined halacha. If I am attempting to unravel a difficult halacha, and I don't know the answer to it yet, and I'm involved in the chase, so the Tosfos here seem this way, the Rambam wrote this, the Rashba wrote this, Rabbi Akiva got this to say, and meanwhile my head is spinning. So how am I going to daven? The Vilna Gaon was so demanding of himself that in the intellectual preparation, the frame of mind, just intellectually where he was, that he should be focused on the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, that he said once he had a very difficult problem, and in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, it was revealed to him what the answer to his problem was. He says, when I finished Shemoneh Esrei, I immediately forgot it, and I couldn't remember it. He says, why? He said, because I shouldn't have been thinking about it during the tefillah. It didn't come from the right place, so it was Nela. He says, a while later it came back to me in a different way. But that which I realized in the midst of tefillah, by the time when Shemoneh Esrei was finished, it dissipated. Intellectually, where the human mind is, where our faculties are, as we enter tefillah, that intellectually, we're intellectually calm. Otherwise, how can we daven? And the Rama adds, if it's Elo Mitoch Halacha Psuta, Halacha which is clear-cut, decided Halacha, decisive Halacha, the mind is relaxed. V'ayinu Namikim Elo Mitoch Simcha, and that is from a state of Simcha. Why? He says, Pikudei Hashem Yishon V'sam Chelei. There's a particular quality, the Radak writes on that pasuk, that because they are Pikudei Hashem, that they come from the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, they're Mesameach. There's a satisfaction that's associated with them. Now, we don't always have, even in secular intellectual pursuits, and as important as they may be to us, but we don't always have satisfaction from them. We may find out the answer, but they're not necessarily satisfied. There's a particular quality, because the Pikudei Hashem, because they connect us with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, the Mesam Chelev. And it's the Simcha that we have of that connection with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, as the Rama wrote earlier, the Shulchan Aruch, that we should come Elo Mitoch Halocha Psuka, Elo Mitoch Simcha. A person should come Mitoch Simcha, Halocha Psuka Simcha. Now, let's go a little further. The fourth halacha in Simin Samach Gimel. Ha'isik b'tzorchi tziva. A person that's involved in the, for the working for the good of the community is ka'isik b'teradom. In terms of tefillah, it's the same preparation as learning. It's not as significant as learning, but that a person should go from involvement and communal efforts to tefillah is appropriate. Because a person has satisfaction in that too. So this is another means that a person has of preparing for tefillah. That he's Isaac Tzorchi Tzibur. He says, a Wuvad Shalo Yehidoim Ala Alocha Psuka. But it has to be comparable to a settled halacha, meaning shlo yehei dvar dovah shel tirda. If I go to a tough board meeting, we have, you know, the yeshiva short $175,000, you know, for the first half of the year, and we're tearing our hair out, and how we're going to solve the problem, and we're going to work on this one for weeks. So that's not, I don't run from that meeting, run out, and 2 seconds later start davening marv. Listen, this is the last minyan, and we had the board meeting, it's 11 o'clock now, we're not going to have another minyan after this. If we have no other point in time, we have to daven at that time. So he says, "V'chein posko achroinim," like this view, in the as this view concerning tzorchei tzibur, that involvement of tzorchei tzibur is also a simcha shel mitzvah. Now, a little chizik to those that are oisik b'tzorchei tzibur. The Shulchan Aruch ends with another day. A person that's oisik b'tzorchei tzibur doesn't have to stop to daven. Suppose he's involved in an important communal matter, obviously that he has to do now, and if he won't do it, there's no one else to do it. So he's exempt from tefillah at such a time. And he says, let's say he missed shachris for that reason, he wouldn't have to daven mincha twice, because he was potter from shachris. It's oisik b'mitzvah. So this Siman Tzadik Gimel, gives us a little bit of a notion of the scope of what the Achana L'Tvila is. That we have to prepare philosophically for Tvila, prepare to stand before the Rabbeinu Shalom and focus to remove the emotional turmoil of the world around us. Second is the psychological state that we have to be in. The first is what we shouldn't be in, distracted. The second is to achieve a state of Eima v'Hachna, of humility before the Rabbeinu Shalom. The third is a combination of two. We can be distracted from learning itself. And on the other hand, if done properly, it can put us in a joyful association with the Rabbeinu Shalom, upbeat. That's the best way to enter Tvila. And that finally, being oisik b'tzorchei tzibur, when we're dealing with things that are clear-cut, is also an appropriate achon l'tvila. So we shouldn't be distracted. We should attain a state of humility before the Rabbeinu Shalom and achieve an element of simcha, of joyfulness. These are three direct preparations for tefillah. Now, we didn't even touch upon dress. That's how a person should dress for tefillah. Come back to that, maybe, Be'ezus Hashem, another time. Good night, Rabbi.